possibilities are things that may be or may become true on a contingency, as opposed to what actually is true. Certainties are things that are or may be absolutely predicted, things inevitable or sure to come. When God declared to Adam the consequences of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That was a certainty. When Eve explained her interpretation of God's word to Satan, she said, "We must not eat of it, lest we die." The word "lest" means perhaps, or we may die. God declared a certainty, and man suffered greatly because he treated it as a possibility. The Bible presents a number of possibilities and a number of certainties, and it's very important to distinguish between the two. But for a short time this evening, I want to talk to you about how to turn possibilities into certainties. May I tell you, first of all, that some things we do can take a possible outcome and make it certain. And conversely, sometimes the things we fail to do can keep an outcome merely possible that we would rather be certain. For example, suffering is possible, but suffering can be certain. That may seem odd to affirm the possibility of suffering as if anyone would deny it, but it appears that some people don't realize this possibility because when suffering comes into their lives, they act as though something unprecedented has taken place and often throw a lot of blame toward heaven. In fact, many people become atheists simply because they cannot understand how they could have suffered or why they suffer, as if the very existence of a loving God is challenged by this possibility. Jesus offered valuable teaching on this wise in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all of the men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Consider the first half of those two statements. Jesus here responds to the theory that all suffering must be a reflection of God's attitude toward a person, that people could not possibly suffer unless God hated them or was angry or displeased with them in some way, or at least had some greater purpose in their suffering. And to this theory, Jesus says, "I tell you, no, this is not correct. Sometimes, in fact, many times, bad things happen because they just happen. Why were those worshipers killed in Galilee? The only reason is that a wicked and murderous man killed them. Why did the 18 in Jerusalem perish beneath the falling tower? Because sometimes, for structural reasons, towers fall. And these people happened to be standing underneath one when it did. There was no greater mysterious purpose." You see, we live in a corrupted world full of natural disasters, disease, and evil people who do evil things, and consequently it is very possible for innocent people to suffer senselessly. And if we do not come to terms with that, our lives and our faith will be unstable. But consider now the second part of Jesus' statement. He says, "But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Listen to that phrase, "you shall Jesus is saying that suffering is always a possibility in this world. And no matter how you live, no matter who you are, you may suffer in this life. But if you choose a life of sin, if you do not repent and seek the salvation of the Lord, then you will perish eternally. It is not a question any longer of what might happen. Unrepentant sin turns the possibility of suffering into a dreadful certainty. May I tell you, secondly, it is possible to be saved, but salvation can be certain. The Bible teaches that God desires for all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2 and 4. God does not desire for any to perish, 2 Peter 3 and 9. And God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 18 and 23. And God not only desires the salvation of all mankind, He has made it a possibility. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, says John 3 and 16. In John 1 and 12, the apostle said, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Guyon Woods says the phrase, the right, means the liberty of action. And Brother Woods continued, none but believers has the privilege to become a child of God. And quite obviously, one does not have the privilege of becoming what one already is. And thus, here is clear proof that the act of believing does not produce salvation by itself. That's true. Faith without works is dead, being alone, says James 2 and 17. And only when it is joined with obedient works to become an act of faithfulness is it complete, says James 2 and 22. And we see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, says James 2 and 24. But when faith and obedience are joined together, listen to what Jesus says about salvation in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized might be saved. No. Can be saved? May be saved? No. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The possibility can become a certainty, and it must if the gracious work of God is not in vain in our lives. May I tell you, thirdly, it is possible to fail, but failure can be certain. Now, I use the word fail here synonymously with what the Bible calls falling, in reference to a Christian who turns back into a life of sin and loses his salvation. Some relatively modern theologies deny this possibility, but do you know the Bible warns against falling away from God more than 2,300 times? One of the more clear examples is 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 21. The apostle says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Whatever else this may be teaching, it is certainly teaching that a person once saved can forsake his salvation and be lost. It is possible to fall from grace, and to fall from grace is to be severed from the blessings and benefits brought by Christ, says Galatians 5 and verse 4. But this dreadful possibility can become a certainty if we make foolish decisions in regard to our lives. If we're thoughtless and we do not give heed to our actions, the apostle said, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. The apostle Peter warned Christians, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, be steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5 verses 8 and 9. If we associate with wicked companions, morally or religiously, we will be corrupted, says 1 Corinthians 15:33. If we drink alcohol and we use drugs that dull or destroy the mind, we're setting ourselves up to fall. If we read books and watch films and visit websites and spend time in places and around people designed to incite ungodly lusts, we're turning the possibility of failure into a certainty. The wise man Solomon, speaking about immorality, said in Proverbs 6:27-29, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? It's possible to be burned accidentally, but if you embrace the flame, it is certain." And the wise man continues that one who chooses to participate in immoral behavior will not be innocent. Finally, it is possible to succeed, but success can be certain. A man living a way he ought not to live wrote me recently, and he said, "Maybe I'm one of those people who can never find peace on earth." But I want you to know there is no such person. Such a man does not exist. Jesus came to bring peace on earth, and you can find it. You can be a Christian, and only Satan himself or one of his agents will ever try to tell you otherwise. Once I was holding a mission meeting in a small town in Australia, and I invited a group of men to come to the meeting who were sitting in a park drinking whiskey. One man, somewhat inebriated, said to me, "Oh, you don't want me at church. I'm a devil." Well, what do you say to that? I didn't give him a very good answer, I'll tell you that. And we sort of parted ways. As he walked away, the right response occurred to me. And I chased him down and I said, "Sir, I don't know who told you you were a devil, but they were lying to you. You're a human being made in the image and glory of God, and God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and that's why you need to come to church, and that's why you need to try following Jesus, because God made you to do this." You know, everybody in this room and every human being in the world is made in the image of God, and God made you to trust him and to love him and to obey him. The apostle said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not contrary to us. They're not impossible," says 1 John 5 and verse 3. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you know why so many people don't succeed? You know why so many people do fail? Because they never seriously try their best. They never put their whole heart into it. Now, if you want to take half Jesus and half the world, if you want to take half Jesus and half whatever you want to do, then it's not going to work. It never will. But if you will surrender to him and you'll do the best you can, listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote. One more scripture and then I'm through. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence," that's putting your whole heart into it, "add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." You see, it doesn't all come at one time. It's a progression, step by step. The apostle says, "If these things are yours and abound, then you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your call and election possible," no, "sure, certain, For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A home in heaven can be a certainty if you will give your all to Jesus and strive to make it so.